The recent rezoning of a parcel of land at the corner of Atlin Drive and Mendenhall Loop Road is illegal, according to Juneau City Attorney. Earlier this month, the Juneau Assembly changed the 2+ acres from residential to light commercial against the recommendation of area neighbors, the CBJ community development staff, and the Planning Commission. And when Assemblyman Peter Freer brought up the rezone change for reconsideration last week, it failed. City Attorney John Hartle was out of town when the issue first came before the Assembly. He has since analyzed the arguments pro and con.
Continuing with that rezoning would likely result in litigation, and a safer course would be to undo it and try again.
Hartle says he was persuaded the rezoning needed more study when he read a letter from neighborhood resident Chuck Cohen, who argued the city's own zoning laws made the change illegal.
Chuck Cohen happens to be a lawyer, made a legal argument that the proposed rezoning would violate CBJ 4975-120, which is entitled Restrictions on Rezonings.
Cohen argued that zoning has an importance beyond the individual landowner and gives predictability to the community, the developers, and the neighborhood. The land is owned by developer Richard Harris of RH Development. Harris applied to change the area from residential to light commercial in January. Since then, Atlin Drive and Teslin Street residents have put a lot of time into fighting it, concerned because Harris has never developed a plan for the property. And there is still none, says consultant Murray Walsh.
As we have said steadfastly throughout, there is no plan.
Walsh, a former CBJ community development director, helps developers through the government morass.
Typically, you look at a piece of land for what you think might be the best thing for it. And if the zoning is right, then you go out and solicit development ideas. But if you think the zoning is wrong, then you fix the zoning before you spend money trying to generate or solicit development ideas.
Assembly members voting for the zone change agreed with Walsh that Harris should have a lot of flexibility in determining what's appropriate for the parcel, 40% of which is unusable due to stream and wetlands. But now they will have to come up with another plan, says City Attorney Hartle. The Assembly holds a special meeting tonight to introduce an ordinance repealing the Atlin Drive zone change. The ordinance will come up for a vote at a September Assembly meeting. Before tonight's special Assembly meeting, the Assembly will meet as Committee of the Whole, where members will try to decide what to do with the Alaska Commercial Fishermen's Memorial now that a floating cruise ship dock is to be built in front of it. The Assembly asked the city's Docks and Harbors Board to work with the memorial's board of directors to, if necessary, come up with a mutually acceptable plan for relocating the monument. But Docks and Harbors was unable to come up with a recommendation at its meeting last week. The CBJ Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee previously recommended that the memorial not be moved to Marine Park until there's a plan in place. The memorial board prefers to have it stay where it is, on the south waterfront near Taku Smokeries, but not with a dock in front of it. Marine Park is its second choice, and a third option is moving it to the recently completed Seawalk south of the current location. The memorial board is concerned with how the dock will affect the annual blessing of the fleet. Port engineer Gary Gillette explained at last week's Docks and Harbors meeting that boats would still be able to pass in front of the memorial with a dock there, but it might be a tight fit.
It's not meant to say that in all conditions or all boats in a series might be able to make this particular route. We are just showing that a boat could physically go through there, which is important to us for maneuvering to our facility as well as the potential to go in front of the memorial for the blessing.
Gillette will present the three options for what to do with the memorial at tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting. The committee may choose to make a recommendation to staff or for action by the full assembly. Also on the agenda for tonight's Committee of the Whole is a presentation by the Association for the Education of Young Children on child care, an assembly priority, and ongoing discussion of the AJ Mine. The meeting gets underway at 6 p.m. in City Hall Assembly Chambers.
Music.
Checking on commodities prices, the price of benchmark crude oil for October is $87.54 a barrel this morning. Gold is down about $40.60, trading at a high of about $1,818 an ounce. Silver down 89 cents to $41.28. You're listening to Morning Edition on K2. Are Juno shoppers willing to pay 15 cents for each plastic shopping bag they carry home from the store? Voters will have a chance to answer that question in the October municipal election. Grocery, hardware, sundry, and liquor stores with total sales of at least $15 million over the last 5 years would collect the tax for the city coffers as a way to reduce the use of the bags. The Citizens Initiative will be on the ballot, as well as renewal of the CBJ's temporary 3% sales tax, two school bond issues, and an ordinance exempting municipal officials from the state's financial disclosure law. Three assembly and two school board seats are also up for election. The sample ballot is now on the city's website at juno.org/clerk/elections. Sunday, September 4th is the last day to register to vote in the CBJ municipal election, which is October 4th. Voter registration forms are available in the CBJ city clerk's office, at all state election offices and Juno public libraries, and online at elections.alaska.gov. Alaska Electric Light and Power and Juno ratepayers hope to learn the size of a pending rate increase on Friday. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska has extended its decision for the second time. Last month, the commission announced it would issue its final order on August 26th, a month later than expected. That has been extended to September 2nd. AEL&P requested a 22% permanent rate increase in May 2010. The commission granted 18.5% in July 2010, with the final decision to come 12 months later. If the permanent increase is less than the interim, the company would have to refund the difference. Seismologists say a minor earthquake jolted Alaska's largest city on Sunday. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says the 3.5 magnitude quake hit at 3 p.m. and was felt in Anchorage. The earthquake was located 34 miles northwest of the city. There are no immediate reports of damage. Transportation officials say the main runway at the Kotzebue Airport will be closed an additional 2 days during an ongoing safety improvement project. Officials say a paving delay has added September 6th and September 7th to the closure schedule of the runway. Partial closures continue intermittently through mid-September. A smaller runway will not be affected. The $18 million project will include repaving the main runway and taxiways. Officials say runway lighting systems also will be replaced. The project is funded by the Federal Aviation Administration and is slated for completion in October 2012. Officials say other projects are planned for 2013 and 2014. And a research satellite is set to be launched from the Kodiak Launch Complex on September 27th. The satellite is a Naval Research Laboratory project that has been in the works for several years. Naval Research Laboratory spokesman Tim Duffy says the satellite is smaller than a typical military satellite, weighing in at just under 1,000 pounds. Sponsors of a recall campaign against Republican State Representative Kyle Johansson of Ketchikan say they have collected enough signatures to move forward with the effort. One of the sponsors, Dick Coos, says 594 signatures were submitted with a formal application mailed Friday to the Alaska Division of Elections. Sponsors needed to obtain at least 531 valid signatures. In a written statement, Johansson says he's disappointed that local Republicans were continuing the recall process. He says, however, that he respects their constitutional right to do so. Johansson, who was reelected last fall, had a falling out with the House GOP caucus and lost his position as the majority leader after he and Anchorage Representative Charisse Millett walked out over an organizational dispute. A Juneau man is behind bars after allegedly leading police on an early morning chase Sunday. 20-year-old Keith Hansen is charged with driving under the influence, failure to stop, and driving without a valid license. Police responded to a report of a vehicle fire near Douglas Harbor at about 3:30 Sunday morning. At about the same time, there was another report of a single vehicle collision with a utility pole at the corner of St. Anne's and Savico Park Road. A witness told police that a van had sped away from the area. Officers tried to pull the van over until it eventually came to a stop at the Channelview Apartments, where Hansen allegedly got out and tried to run. Hansen was booked at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on $10,000 bail. Investigation into the arson and utility pole accident are ongoing. Dock workers in Juneau are planning an informational picket today to protest the practice of using foreign workers to tie up cruise ship shuttle boats. When cruise ships anchor in Gastineau Channel, they use shuttle boats to transport passengers to shore and to pick up cargo and supplies. Longshoremen and Juneau Docks and Harbors board member John Bush says the practice of having foreign workers tie up those boats has been going on for years.
As we read it, the longshore work is tying up and cargo, and the foreigners can't do it. They don't have green cards, and they don't have transportation TWIC cards, security cards. So one quote of one of my buddies is, these are shovel-ready jobs, and we don't need shovels. We're Americans, and we want to do this work, and we're longshoremen.
Bush says the longshoremen are working with Alaska's congressional delegation and U.S. Customs and Border Protection to end the practice. He says today's informational protest will be the first of its kind. The picket will start at about 1:30 p.m. in Marine Park, timed to coincide with the arrival of Holland America's Zuiderdam. Drew Green with Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska directed calls to the longshoremen's employer, Southeast Stevedoring. Officials with the company did not return calls seeking comment. Well, the Juneau Douglas Crimson Bears took down the Palmer Moose 29-13 on Friday, improving to 3-0 on the year, while the Thunder Mountain Falcons struggled against the Nikiski Bulldogs, losing 46-6 and dropping to 0-3 in high school football action over the weekend in Juneau. McLean Cannon has a recap.
In a game where the ball never seemed to bounce Thunder Mountain's way, the injury-depleted Falcons squad fumbled 6 times, losing 3 of them, were flagged for 10 penalties, and never seemed to find a rhythm offensively, falling at the hands of the Nikiski Bulldogs 46-6 on a rainy Saturday evening. The season continues to be a struggle for the Falcons, who have been plagued by injuries all season long. Head coach Bill Boyer says although the season has had its bumps, his players and coaches refuse to quit.
That's the theme of this season, is injuries. These kids haven't quit. We haven't quit, I haven't quit, and all we can do is continue to go forward and look for next weekend.
The Bulldogs rolled up 398 yards of total offense on Saturday, 329 coming on the ground, led by running back and leading rusher Caden Spurgeon's 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. Josh Brown added 98 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns of his own, and Stephen Hartley tacked on 77 yards rushing for the Bulldogs, whose well-balanced three-headed rushing attack ran all over the Falcons' defense, averaging nearly 7.4 yards a carry. The Bulldogs led 28-0 at halftime and used their unrelenting running game to cruise on to victory in the second half. On the Falcons' side, TMHS senior quarterback Camden Thomas completed 14 of 27 passes for 171 yards through the air, highlighted by a 61-yard touchdown pass down the right sideline to wide receiver Ben Yon for the Falcons' lone score of the game. Yon finished with 5 catches for 98 yards in the score. The Falcons' slow start comes as a dramatic contrast from last year's team that finished the regular season with an undefeated 8-0 record.
Every game we walked off this field and we were all happy and everything else. These kids are now experiencing something that I know they don't want to. I'm sure it's going to make them stronger kids.
Next Saturday, the Falcons take on the Sitka Wolves on the road in a conference clash in Sitka. Last season, TMHS defeated the Wolves 36-13. Boyer says although depth is an issue for the shorthanded Falcons, he expects his players to keep fighting.
I understand Sitka's got big boys in the front line. They held well for a while with Homer and Nikiski. I'm expecting the same thing. These guys are going to come at us hard. I'm sure everybody knows by now that I don't have the numbers right now. I have 30 kids on JV, and I have 14 that are suited up for me and lost 2-3 today. So keep fighting.
In the first two games of the season, the Crimson Bears outscored their opponents 125-0. Palmer head coach Rod Christensen says the Moose had that in mind as they traveled to Juneau for Friday's game.
It's real hard for us coming down to know, is Juneau really that good, or are those two teams they played that bad? They're a very good team.
The Crimson Bears' offensive and defensive lines dominated the Moose, especially in the first half. The O-line provided plenty of time and protection for junior quarterback Philip Fanumiai, who threw for 285 yards and two scores on 9 of 17 passing, and also helped block the way for senior running back Jarek Abias, who finished with 136 yards and two touchdowns of his own, while the Crimson Bears' D-line kept Palmer quarterback Jackson Burrish under constant pressure. The Moose offense, while showing spurts of threatening to score, failed to maintain any consistency, twice failing to score after getting inside the red zone during the first half. Christensen says the Moose just couldn't finish on offense.
Offensively, you know, we'd have big plays, and then we'd have a play where we didn't block well enough, block the right guy, or maybe we needed to get out of a play that was bad and run a better quality play.
The Moose came back in the second half, scoring two touchdowns to cut the deficit to 7 near the end of the third quarter. But kicker Adam Soto's 29-yard field goal with a little over 6 minutes left and Demetrius Campos' interception helped the Bears hold on and pave the way to victory. Juneau head coach Rich Soros was expecting his Bears would face some tough Moose and wasn't surprised they picked it up in the second half.
The fact that they had moved the ball against us in the first half, you know, eventually they're going to maybe finish a couple of those drives, you know, and they finished that one drive and then we didn't help with the turnover and then all of a sudden, bam, they're right back in the end zone again and it's 20-13. It's still the third quarter. I mean, it was just like, what are we going to do here? Stop the bleeding.
And while Palmer gave Juneau its first big test of the season, Soros says Juneau played very good team football.
There were so many different kids that made plays tonight, whether it be offense, defense, in the kicking game. It was fun to see because that's really team football. You know, it's not just one guy taking over the show and everybody kind of sit back and watch. It was just really 28 guys digging in deep and coming up with a W tonight.
Next weekend, the Crimson Bears will take on the Colony Knights at home. In Juneau, I'm McLean Cannon.
Juneau runners took the top spots in the Capital City Invitational Cross Country meet this weekend. Sydney Browning finished the 5-kilometer race in 21 minutes, 16 seconds to best the girls' field, followed by Juneau Douglas classmate Martina Miller at 22 minutes, 10 seconds. Miller finished 1 second ahead of Ketchikan's Courtney Galloway. Katie Jones was the top Thunder Mountain girls' runner, finishing 11th with a time of 22 minutes, 57 seconds. JDHS's David Francis had the top boys' time at 16 minutes, 52 seconds. Sitka's Nico Friedman was second at 16:57, followed by Juneau's Jesse Miller at 17:01. James Steves came in sixth for Thunder Mountain with a time of 18 minutes, 38 seconds. You're listening to Morning Edition on KTOO Juneau.